Okay, Lord, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, for placing it in our hearts to get the gospel out, the real and true gospel. And we praise you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you placed it in our hearts to tell everybody we know about Jesus so they won't go to that wonderful, terrible pit. And we praise you, Father, for putting it in our hearts to tell everybody we know. But Lord, I thank you that you're going to place it in our hearts to give us discernment, wisdom, and the words to say to people that they would come into the kingdom. And I thank you for that, Father. Lord, you said that if we read the word, that that word would come back to us when we needed it, that the Holy Spirit would bring back the words. And we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. And Lord, I thank you for blessing this outreach tonight with wonderful words from you. And not only that, Lord, that it would be a blessing to everybody that listens also in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this open heaven that we have. That we when we pray, we know that our prayers are answered in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request or a prayer they'd like to pray? Yeah, Ben.
It's about my buddy Jake. He asked for prayer. He's having a hard time with the ladies, I guess you could say. He didn't get too graphic with me or anything, but he's asking for prayer, and he doesn't usually ask for prayer. It's been a while since he's texted me about anything, and said, and I asked if I could bring him up tonight with you guys, and he said he'd be honored. He'd love it if we could all pray. And so I'll just pray, and I'd ask that you all agree with me.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for my brother Jake. He was a great brother in Christ in my beginning walk. And he was a good example when I was stuck in the world. He wants to know you better. He wants to walk in you better. Lord Father God, I just pray and I rebuke all this lust. I rebuke any lascivious nature that he has in his heart, any sort of temptation to be disobedient, Father. I rebuke it out of him now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just pray an overcoming spirit upon him, Father. I pray that the blood of Jesus Christ lives and moves and breathes through him, Father, and let that light shine through him to have integrity and to be diligent and to use his authority to fight against these tempting spirits that want him to be doing things that he's not supposed to be doing. Thank you, Father, for protecting my brother, and thank you, Father, for protecting all of us from all of these spirits that want to tempt us to be disobedient. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith together with Ben, and we thank you, Lord, that Jake is free from all of this. In the name of Jesus, he is an overcomer. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, anyone else? Anybody got a testimony? Oh, I see it. I see it now. Go ahead. I didn't see it before, Judy.
See
Sorry.
you. That's okay. My hand is probably camouflaged somehow. Lord, I just thank you for today. And I just want to testify and ask my brothers and sisters to agree with me in prayer. I went with my neighbor today, Stephen, to go to the hospital while he had an outpatient surgery done. And I thank you, Lord, that everything went really well. And there weren't any complications. And thank you, Lord, that he is where he is right now, and with his understanding of things, and he's got to go through the things he has to go through, Father. And I praise you and thank you, Lord. He's a kind man, and but he's got some issues, Lord, and so does his wife and I just heard about, I only hear one side, of course, but anyhow, Lord, I just thank you that the surgery went well today. And I just want to pray in agreement, Lord, with my brothers and sisters that the effects of the anesthesia will be quick, and there won't be any severe reactions, no nausea or anything like that, and that he's able to rest, that he's truly able to rest and do everything he's supposed to do. He understood everything when I talked to him, but he did have a little bit of drugs on him, but he's been through surgeries before, but he knows, and he understood. So I just thank you, Lord, that there won't be any pressure on him to have to do something that he's not supposed to drive for a week. So I thank you, Lord, that you're going to work out all the details there, so he's not going to have to go anywhere. And I thank you for that. And I also pray, Father, that the recovery is fast and not near the pain that what they say it could be. They gave him a prescription for severe pain and to take as needed, but not to exceed X amount of pills, whatever. And then you can use extra strength Tylenol with it if he needs to. But Lord Jesus, you bore the pain for us, and I just cover Stephen in the blood of Jesus, and I ask you, Lord, that there will be minimal pain in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that he's able to get around, and he'll be able to get up and exercise moderately as he's supposed to. And I just pray blessings on him and his wife and the circumstances there, Father, and for doing more than I can ask or think. So thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Missy, what is that black thing I see moving up and down? Is that fudgesicle? Okay. I figured it up. I figured it was. All right, anyone else? Lord, we thank you that this man is healed. This will be the healing of him today in Jesus' name. All right, anyone else? Hey, Pat. How you doing?
Couldn't be better.
You look pretty spiffy, bud. Amen. All right. Did you want to say something, Andrew? I do.
Can I play an upbeat song? I
Sure.
could use it. I could use some lifting up energy
Absolutely.
in the hospital for all afternoon today.
Absolutely. Let me give you
Okay.
permission here.
Thank you.
All right, you can go.
Thank you.
Sing praise with me, you have.
Father. Ooh, that was a gooder. I like that one. Got the juices flowing in. Praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to pray or talk about? Oh, okay. I do. I want to give you a testimony of a Buddhist monk. Short, it's not long. It will take me 5, 6, 7 minutes. And it's happened, this happened back in 2002. This is called Paul, Who Came Back to Life. The story that followed, I'm not going to read all that. We have to get out of that part. Okay, he says, "Hello, my name is Athep Pienshenthal Palu. Okay, I am from the country of Myanmar, and I would like to share with you my testimony of what happened to me. But first, I'd like to give you some brief background information from my life growing up. I was born in 1958 in the town of Bogali on the Irrawaddy Delta area of southern Myanmar, formerly Burma. My parents, who were devout Buddhists like most people in Myanmar, named me Thit Thien, which means tree in English. Our lives were very simple where I grew up. At the age of 13, I left school and started working on a fishing boat. We caught fish and sometimes shrimp from the numerous rivers and streams in Irrawaddy area, in the Irrawaddy area. At the age of 16, I became the leader of the boat. At this time, I lived in Upper Main Malagaon. Everybody knows where that is. That's an island. And that means beautiful woman. Beautiful woman island in English. Just north of Bogali, where I was born. This place is about 100 miles southwest of Yangon or Rangoon, our nation's capital city. One day when I was 17, we caught a large number of fish in our nets. And because of the many fish, a large crocodile was attracted to us. Well, of course. It followed our boat and tried to attack us. We were terrified, so we frantically rowed our boats toward the riverbank as fast as we could. The crocodile followed us and smashed our boat with its tail. Although no one died in this incident, the attack greatly affected my life. I no longer wanted to fish. Well, I could see why. Our small boat sank because of the crocodile attack. We had to go home to our village that night on a passenger boat. Not long after, my father's employers transferred him to Yangon City, formerly spelled Rangoon. At the age of 18, I was sent to a Buddhist monastery to be a novice monk. Most parents in Myanmar send their son into a Buddhist monastery for at least for a time, as it is considered a great honor to have a son serve in this way. We've been observing this custom for many hundreds of years. And the subtitle of this next one is A Zealous Disciple of Buddha. When I turned 19 years and 3 months old in 1977, I became a normal monk. The senior monk at my monastery gave me a new Buddhist name, which is the custom in our country. And I was now called Yunata Panmita Ashanthurye. When we become a monk, we no longer use the name given to us at birth by our parents. The name of the monastery I lived at is called Mandalay Kayasaki. I don't know, it's Kayang. The senior monk's name was called Uzadila Kayar Nakan Sayadaw. I'm struggling with these names. Uzadila is his title. He was the most famous Buddhist monk in all of Myanmar at the time. Everyone knew who he was. He was widely honored by the people and respected as a great teacher. I say he was because in 1983 he suddenly died when he was involved in a fatal car accident. His death shocked everyone. And at the time, I had been a monk for 6 years. Remember that. I tried hard to be the best monk I could and to follow all the precepts of Buddhism. At one stage, I moved to a cemetery where I lived and meditated continually. Some monks who really want to know the truth of Buddha do things like I did. Some move deep into the forest where they live a life of self-denial and poverty. I sought to deny my selfish thoughts and desires, to escape from sickness and suffering, and to break free from the cycle of this world. At the cemetery, I was not afraid of ghosts. I tried to attain such an inner peace and self-realization that even when a mosquito landed on my arm, I would let it bite me instead of brushing it off. For years, I strived to be the best monk I could, not to harm any living being. I studied the holy Buddhist teaching just like all my forefathers had done before me. My life proceeded as a monk until I got very, very sick. I was in Mandalay at the time and had to be taken to the hospital for treatment. The doctors did some tests on me and told me I had both yellow fever and malaria at the same time. After about 1 month in the hospital, I was getting worse. The doctors told me there was no chance for me to recover and discharged me to make arrangements to die. This is a brief description of my past. Now, I would like to tell you some of the remarkable things that happened to me after this time. After I was discharged from the hospital, I went back to the monastery where other monks cared for me. I grew weaker and weaker and was lapsing into unconsciousness. I learned later that I actually died for 3 days. My body decayed and stunk of death. My heart stopped beating. My body was prepared for cremation and was put through traditional Buddhist purification rites. Although I had faded away in my body, I remember my mind and spirit were fully alert. I was in a very, very powerful storm. A tremendous wind flattened the whole landscape until there were no trees or anything else standing, just a flat plain. And I walked very fast along this plain for some time. There were no other people anywhere. I was all alone. After some time, I crossed the river. On the other side of the river, I saw a terrible, terrible lake of fire. In Buddhism, we do not have a concept of a place like this. At first, I was confused and didn't know it was hell until I saw Yama, the king of hell. Yama is the name ascribed to the king of hell in numerous cultures throughout Asia. His face looked like the face of a lion, his body was like a lion, but his legs were like a naga, a serpent spirit. He had a number of horns on his head. His face was very fierce, and I was extremely afraid. Trembling, I asked him his name. He replied, "I am the king of hell, the destroyer." The king of hell told me to look into told me to look into the lake of fire. I looked, and I saw the saffron color robes that Buddhist monks wear in Myanmar. I looked closer and saw the shaven head of a man. And when I looked at the man's face, I saw it was Usadila Kayar Incansayade, the famous monk who had died in a car accident in 1983. I asked the king of hell why my former leader was confined to this lake of torment. I said, "Why is he in this lake of fire? He was a very good teacher. He even had a good teaching tape called 'Are You a Man or a Dog?' which had helped thousands of people understand that their worth as humans is far greater than the animal." Well, the king of hell replied, "Yeah, he was a good teacher, but he didn't believe in Jesus Christ. That's why he's in hell." I was told to look at another person who was in the fire. I saw a man with very long hair wrapped on the left-hand side of his head. He was also wearing a robe. And I asked the king of hell, "Who is this man?" He replied, "This is the one you worship, Gautama Buddha." I was very disturbed to see Gautama in hell. I protested. Gautama had good ethics and good moral character. Why is he suffering in this lake of fire? The king of hell answered me, "It doesn't matter how good he was, he's in this place because he didn't believe in the eternal God." I then saw another man who looked like he was wearing a soldier's uniform. He had a large wound on his chest. I asked, "Who is this man?" The king of hell said, "This is Aung San, the revolutionary leader of Myanmar." I was told Aung San is here because he persecuted and killed Christians, but mostly because he didn't believe in Jesus Christ. In Myanmar, the people have a common saying, soldiers never die, they live on. I was told that the legions of hell have a saying, soldiers never die, but they go to hell forever. Whew. I looked and saw another man in the lake of fire. He was a very tall man. He was dressed in military armor. He was also holding a sword and a shield. This man had a wound on his forehead. This man was taller than any person I have ever seen. He was six times the length between a man's elbow and the tips of his fingers when he stretches his arm out straight, plus one span of a man's fingers when he spreads out his hand. The king of hell said, this man's name is Goliath. He's in hell because he blasphemed the eternal God and his servant David. I was confused because I didn't know who either Goliath or David was. The king of hell said, Goliath is recorded in the Christian Bible. You don't know him now, but when you become a Christian, you will know who he is. I was then taken to a place where I saw both rich and poor people preparing to eat their evening meals, and I asked, who cooked the food for these people? The king of hell replied, the poor have to prepare their own food, but the rich people get others to cook for them. And when the food had been prepared for the rich people, they sat down to eat. And as soon as they started, a thick smoke came up. The rich people ate as fast as they could to ease their consciences. They were struggling to breathe because of the smoke. They had to eat fast because they were fearful of losing their money. Their money is their God. Another king of hell then came to me. I also saw a being whose job is to stoke the fires beneath the lake of fire to keep it hot. This being asked me, are you going into the lake of fire too? I replied, no, I'm only here to observe. How many of you would have said the same thing? I'm just observing. I ain't going nowhere. The appearance of this creature stoking the fire was very terrifying. He had 10 horns on his head and a spear in his hand that had seven sharp blades coming from the end. And the creature told me, you're right. You came here just to observe. I can't find your name here. He said, you must go back the way you came. He pointed me toward the desolate plain that I had just first walked along before I came to the lake of fire. The next subtitle is called The Road of Decision. I walked a long time until I was bleeding. I was hot and in great pain. Finally, after walking for about 3 hours, I came to a wide road. I walked along this road for some time until I came to a fork. One road going off to the left was wide. A smaller road went off to the right-hand side. There was a signpost at the fork saying that the road to the left was for those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and a smaller road to the right was for believers in Jesus. I was interested to see where the larger road led, so I started down it. There were two men walking about 300 yards ahead of me. I tried to catch up with them so I could walk with them, but no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't catch them. So I turned around, went back to the fork in the road, and I continued to watch these two men as they walked down the road away from me. When they reached the end of the road, they were suddenly stabbed. These two men cried out in great pain. And I too also cried out when I saw what had happened to them. I realized the bigger road ended in great dangers for those who traveled down it. How many of you know that's the wide road? I started walking down the Believer's Road instead. After traveling for about 1 hour, the surface of the road turned to pure gold. It was so pure that when I looked down, I could see my own reflection perfectly. And I then saw a man standing in front of me. He was wearing a white coat or robe. I also heard beautiful singing. Oh, it was so beautiful and pure. It was much better and more meaningful than the worship we have in churches here on the earth. The man in the white robe asked me to walk with him. I asked him, "What's your name?" But he didn't answer. After I asked his name six times, the man answered, "I am the one who holds the key to heaven. Heaven is a very, very beautiful place. You can't go there now, but if you follow Jesus Christ, you could go there after your life is finished on the earth." The man's name was Peter. Peter then asked me to sit down. He showed me a place to the north. Peter said, "Look to the north and see God create man." I saw the eternal God from a distance. God spoke to an angel, "Let us make man." The angel pleaded with God and said, "Please don't make man. He'll do wrong and will grieve you." In Burmese, literally, it would say, "He will make you lose face." But God created man anyway. God blew on the man and the man came to life. He gave him the name Adam. Note, Buddhists don't believe in the creation of the world or of man, so this experience had a significant impact on the monk. Sent back with a new name. Then Peter said, "Now get up and go back to where you came from. Speak to the people who worship Buddha and who worship idols. Tell them they must go to hell if they don't change. Those who build temples and idols will also have to go to hell. Those who give offerings to the monks to earn merit for themselves will go to hell. All those who pray to the monks and call them PRA, Pra, respectful title for monks, will go to hell. Those who chant and give life to the idols will go to hell. All those who don't believe in Jesus Christ will go to hell." Peter told me to go back to the earth and testify about the things I had seen. He also said, "You must speak in your new name. From now on, you are to be called Aethet Pion Shenthal Paulu," and it means Paul who came back to life. I didn't want to go back. I want to go to heaven. Angels opened the book. First, they looked for my childhood name, Thigpen, in the book, but they couldn't find it. They then looked for the name I had been given when he entered the Buddhist monkhood. You're not a, had whatever, but it wasn't written in the book either. Then Peter said, "Your name is not written here. You must return and testify about Jesus to the Buddhist people." Well, I walked back along the gold road. Again, I heard a beautiful singing, the kind of which I have never heard before or since. Peter walked with me until the time I returned to the earth. He showed me a ladder that reached down from heaven to the sky. The ladder didn't reach to the earth, but stopped in midair. On the ladder, I saw many angels, some going up to heaven and some going down to the ladder. They were very busy. I asked Peter, "Who are they?" Peter answered, "They are messengers of God. They are reporting to heaven the names of all those who believe in Jesus Christ and the names of those who don't believe." Peter then told me it was time to go back. Next subtitle, "It is a ghost." The next thing I was aware of was the sound of weeping. I heard my own mother cry out, "My son, why did you leave us now?" I also heard many other people weeping. I realized I was lying in a box. I started to move. My mother and father started shouting, "He's alive, he's alive." Other people who were farther away did not believe my parents. I then placed my hands on the side of the box and sat upright. Many people were struck with terror. They cried out, "It's a ghost," and ran away as fast as their legs could carry them. Those who remained were speechless and trembling. I noticed I was sitting in smelly liquid in body fluids enough to fill about a 3.5 cups. This was liquid that had come out of my stomach. Doubt it. I'm just going to skip that part. This is why people knew I had been indeed dead inside the coffee. Was all this stuff. I learned later that I was just moments away from being cremated in the flames. In Myanmar, people are placed in a coffin. The lid is then nailed shut, and the whole coffin is burned. When I came back to life, my mother and father were being allowed to look at my body for the very last time. Moments later, the lid of my coffin would have been nailed shut and I would have been cremated. I immediately started to explain the things I had seen and heard. People were astonished. I told them about the men I had seen in the lake of fire, and I told them that only the Christians know the truth, that our forefathers and us have been deceived for thousands of years. I told them everything we believe is a lie. The people were astonished because they knew what kind of a monk I had been and how zealous I had been for the teachings of Buddha. In Myanmar, when a person dies, their name and age is written on the side of the coffin. When a monk dies, the monk's name, age, and the number of years he has served as a monk are written on the side of the coffin. I had already been recorded as dead, but as you can see, now I am alive. Epilogue. Since Paul, who came back to life, experienced the above story, he has remained a faithful witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Burmese pastors have told us that he had led hundreds of other monks to faith in Christ. His testimony is obviously very uncompromising, and because of that, his message has offended many people who can't accept that there's only one way to heaven, which is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Despite great opposition, his experiences were so real to him that he has not wavered. After many years in the Buddhist monkhood as a strict follower of Buddhist teachings, he immediately proclaimed the gospel of Christ following his resurrection and exhorted other monks to forsake all false gods and follow Jesus Christ with all their heart. Before the time of his sickness and death, he had no exposure to Christianity at all. Everything he learned during those 3 days in the grave was new to his mind. In a bid to get his message out to as many people as possible, this modern-day Lazarus began distributing audio and video cassette tapes with his story on. The police and Buddhist authorities in Myanmar have done their utmost to gather these tapes up and destroy them. The testimony you have just read has been translated from one of those cassette tapes. We're told it is now quite dangerous for citizens of Myanmar to be in possession of these tapes. His fearless testimony has landed him in prison at least once, where the authorities failed in their bid to silence him. Upon his release, he continued to testify of the things he saw and heard. His current whereabouts are uncertain. One Burmese informant told us he is in prison and may have been killed, while another informant was told he is now released from prison and is continuing his ministry. And I'm going to read Romans 10, 8 through 10. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in my heart, in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Glory to God. And that is the testimony of all from Myanmar. That would get somebody's attention, you'd think, wouldn't you? Unless you're just plumb stupid as a brick. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I was just thinking about the fact that that huge earthquake just happened over in Myanmar a couple weeks ago or so, or whatever it was.
That's right, it did. Yeah. Well, if he's still preaching over us, Bet he's got a good crowd.
Thank you, Lord, for using this. Believe that he's still alive. Call the things that may not be to
Amen.
as though they were, Lord. So we just praise you and thank you, Lord, that you're gonna use this over there in a mighty way to for the advancement of the gospel, and that many people are gonna repent and believe in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. And they've had these same type of occurrences, only even more spectacular, is Jesus showing up in Muslim households and turning the whole family from Buddhism to Christianity, true Christianity. He's doing that all over. Praise God. Anybody else got a comment or what you singing, Missy?
Oh, did I not? I'm sorry. I'm just singing the song that Julie played. I thought I had
Oh,
mute.
who is this person's name, Michael, you're reading about?
his name, I can't
Oh,
pronounce it, but
okay. I just realized that.
his name after the Lord gave him the name was Paul.
Oh, okay, I hear that part. Okay.
Yeah, let me see if I can. If you want to look it up, it's called. Let me look here. Well, I've already closed it out. I don't know where it is.
Okay.
Just put in Hindu monk died. Went to hell.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I
The
thought you
Lord.
said he was Buddhist. Buddhist or Buddha.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. You
Okay.
were preaching Buddhist.
Buddhist.
Okay.
Well, the monks, don't they worship Buddha?
Oh,
So,
once worship
don't
Buddha? Oh, maybe so.
I think the monks, they worship Buddha. That's where that
Thank you.
came from.
I wish I could hang on just a second. Oh well, anyway, I was trying to find it. All right. Anybody else? But Buddhist monk who came back to life. Asatthaya Shinto Paola. This was in Burma.
Michael, how'd you come across that article?
Was in my old hard drive that I just hooked up the other day to see what was on it. It's off my old Apple. I got it off the web somewhere, I'm sure. What's interesting to me, we've got whole denominations over here that are in trouble. How many of you know they're in trouble? They're in trouble because they don't believe the real word of God. And the Lord's going to have to shake them up, shake them out before they'll listen. People running around saying, once saved, always saved. And how many places in the Word of God does it say that you must bear fruit of Jesus? It's not There's ifs in there, isn't there? There's ifs in the salvation plan. Y'all missing?
Well, they think that that fruit is bringing other people into the kingdom.
Yeah.
Well, and bringing them into another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit, essentially, is what they're doing.
You know why they think that?
Well, it's just all to save their flesh so they don't have to die and
No,
salvation.
it's just it's that they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit that gives them the knowledge that they need to understand what the Word of God says. I believe they deny the existence of the Holy Spirit. They say you get the Holy Spirit when you get saved. Well, sometimes that's true. Are you walking like Jesus? Are you talking like Jesus? Are you acting like Jesus? And if you're not, something's wrong with your gospel. I'm gonna quit talking to tell you. I had a little trouble with my voice today, but no more. Go ahead, Pat. Thank you.
Michael, you're healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen. I
Amen.
sure am. Thank you, Father.
I have been in the book of John in chapter 20 for the last few days, if maybe a week or two, week. And I'd like to share a couple things, if I could. And what led me to the chapter, excuse me, was I'm scrolling down to it now. In verse 20:25, John 20:25. So the other disciples, therefore, said, just for context, this is the day that Jesus resurrected, and Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples, that he had raised. And interesting thing, this verse here says, and then Jesus came back to the group, after he ascended to the Father and came back. I believe it was on that same day. Matter of fact, I probably should just read it, but this is the crux of the thing that drew me to this chapter when I read it and was thinking about it. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." Verse 24 says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And as I got to thinking about that, and I asked the Lord, this is something I'd asked the Lord a long time ago about this section of the scripture, and I didn't understand it. But if you look at, if you basically, Thomas You know, church history calls him Doubting Thomas or whatever. But he had this thing that he had to see with his eyes before he would believe. And there was another example, kind of an example of this that the Lord took me to, and that was in the story in Luke when Gabriel came to Zacharias to tell him that his prayers had been answered. His wife Elizabeth will bear a son. And of course, they were old in age as well. I believe they were anyway. And he said at that time, I don't remember the exact words, but I'll paraphrase it. And he basically said, "Well, prove it. How can this be? You know." The angel Gabriel said, "You know, I stand. I was sent by God to give you these good tidings." And McKnight paraphrase says, "If you want proof, here's the proof. You're not going to be able to speak for 9 months." And shut his mouth because he was in that mindset that he needed to see before he would believe. And if you look at the contrast in the next few verses after that, when you're listening to Mary's conversation with the angel, and he came and said, "You know, highly beloved, you know, of God." Again, I probably should have pulled over there and read these before I opened my mouth. But the angel told her that she would bear a son, and you know, that son would be, you know, the Son of God, you know, and her, she had a question as well, but it was a question. It wasn't a, "Well, if that's the case, prove it to me," you know, type of thing. It was a question. And if you look at it, it was a valid question. She was a virgin. She knew no man before that time. And here an angel was telling her, "Mary, God is going to bless you here with a child. And, you know, his name shall be called Emmanuel," or whatever. And her questions were based upon the thought that if God is telling me that I'm going to have a child, then that equates to I must have to have, you know, commit fornication or something, you know, and that would be against God's word, against God's law, against morality, etc. So how can this be? And, you know, there was a valid question. And of course, the angel answered it. And then she said, she consummated the deal by saying, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it so to me according to your word." And she accepted it. And I believe in that moment of faith time, the seed of Christ was born. It was impregnated into her at that very moment of time. Mary believed before she saw. Now, God confirmed that because, see, I think a few month within a few months, she packed her bags and went to see Elizabeth. And of course, you read the story, and Elizabeth greeted her, and the baby leapt in Mary's womb at that time, and was further convincing of what that angel had what the angel had told her. So it's interesting that those two different conditions, Zacharias and Mary, they reacted or responded to the message of the Lord in two different ways. So I go back to John, and as I was thinking about this, I know that, when we read the scriptures, especially about situations like this, like about the resurrection, I think we have to ponder the fact and kind of meditate on the fact that these people, these 12 disciples, or the disciples of Jesus, this was something that was totally new. They didn't have, the only thing they had was the Old Testament scriptures. They didn't have the benefit of the 27 books of the New Testament explaining all of this stuff and revealing to us, what was happening, what was going to happen, and what's going to happen in the future. None of that existed. They were in a vacuum. They didn't have the past 2,000 years of Christian history and influence upon the world. Even the world recognizes the fact that Christ came, Christ exists. We, have the celebration of Christmas every year, and all that whole thing. Jesus, of course, being the only man in history whose life so affected the world that it changed the calendar from AD to, or BC to AD. So even the world recognizes for the past 2,000 years that Christ, Jesus, was real. Obviously, majority of the world does not believe nor accept it, but the effects and the changes are there. But these people, these disciples, they had none of that. They were, shall we say, shooting from the hip. They were, all of this was new. And when Jesus came first upon the scene, and called his disciples, and his disciples experienced things that were way out of this world. They, you know, his the, their mind was being rattled every day they walked with Jesus. When he told the disciples to set those 4,000 people down in groups of 50 or whatever, and then he prayed and blessed the fishes and the loaves that were there and fed 4,000 people, the disciples' mindset was shattered. It was stunned. So they were seeing things that they couldn't explain, and it was rattling them. When Jesus stood by the tomb, and they were wondering what was going to happen, and then they heard Jesus yell out, "Lazarus, come forth." And this wrapped mummy corpse comes stumbling out of the tomb, and Jesus said, "Unwrap him and set him free." Their whole world and concept of thinking and everything was continually being turned on its ear, turned upside down. And all of this was new to them, and they were believing that Jesus was the Messiah, was the king that was going to set Israel free, and was and the new thing, whatever this was here. The king had come. And they constantly were going through a shifting of their way of thinking, and seeing things that were happening that they couldn't explain. And they had such a hope and an encouragement, and just building faith. And they never realized that they could lay hands on the sick and heal the sick and cast out demons, and all of these things were just shaking them, and they were excited. And then Jesus was crucified, and then their world again shook and turned upside down. Like, what in the heck is going on here? What is this? We had hoped in this one, and now he's dead. I mean, if you can just think about, what their hopes were shattered, were dashed. They were shattered. And then you think about, in this time frame, as a matter of fact, I'm just gonna read it. Verse one, it says, "Now on the first day of the week," and of course, Jesus, having been crucified and put in the tomb, "the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, while it was yet dark, unto the tomb, and seeth the stone taken away from the tomb. She runneth therefore and cometh to Simon Peter, and said to the other disciple whom Jesus loved," I believe that was John, "and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb, and they ran together. The other disciple outran Peter and came first to the tomb, and stooping and looking in, he seeth the linen cloths lying, yet entered not in. Simon Peter therefore also cometh following him, and entered into the tomb, and behold the linen cloths lying, and the napkin that was laid upon his head, not laying with the linen clothes, but rolled up in a place by itself." Now, I had a pastor once that taught. He knew some of the Greek, the Greek words and that comprise this section of the scripture, and he said that the words that were used there, now whether this is, I don't know Greek, so I don't know, but he said the words that are used here in this portion of the scripture indicate seem to indicate that when they're saying that the linen cloths were lying, and they were, he said that the Greek seems to indicate it was like the form of a man, but then it's as though there was a balloon there, wrapped up in a balloon, and they let the air out of the balloon, and the cloth just collapsed upon itself, and you could still see like the image of the body underneath. Now, whether that's the case, I don't know. Then entered in, therefore, the other disciple also, who came first to the tomb, and he saw and believed. Now, that's a curious, to me, is a curious statement there. You know, he first saw in the tomb, he saw and believed. So it appears as though John was in this state of topsy-turvy, upside down, didn't know what to think, what to believe. But when he got there and saw this, he believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Now, of course, Jesus had told them that multiple times before, but they heard it with their ears. It just didn't make it inside. It didn't compute. So the disciples went away unto their own home. But Mary was standing without the tomb, weeping. So as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she behold, two angels in the white sitting on one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had thus said, she turned herself back, and behold, Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seek thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him in the Hebrew, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended and unto the Father, but I go unto my brethren, but go unto my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. Mary Magdalene cometh and tell. Now, I had to stop there for a second and think, can you imagine Mary Magdalene as the only the unique distinction of being the only human being that ever saw Jesus after the resurrection and before the ascension? She was the only one in human history that I don't know why, but that concept just kind of blew me away. It's almost like Mary, the mother of Jesus, the only one in human history that ever had that distinction. Anyway, I don't know why that just it just seemed to hit me. When therefore it was evening on that day. Now this is the part that it's interesting. The disciples, their world upside down, And they were in shock, stunned, when therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were. And listen to these next few words: for fear of the Jews. That is the amazing thing. For fear of the Jews, they were all held up in their rooms. Their world upside down. Their king was gone, and their lives were up, in topsy-turvy, probably destroyed. They didn't know what was up, what was happening. Then Jesus came in and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said this, he showed unto them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus therefore said to them, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. And then this verse, which had always, I've always had a question about it, and that is this, that I've asked the Lord about. It says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins ye forgive, they are forgiven unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. So then we go back to the next verse, 24, and it said, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Thomas, not being present, his world was still, it was still in somewhat of a turmoil and topsy-turvy. But one of the ingredients, one of the things that he missed is that, and I believe this was a key. He missed this portion here when Jesus came back in the spirit, in the flesh. He came back in his new body. And one of the things that he said, he set, told his disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. And Thomas was not present there to receive. He wasn't there at that time to receive. And the consequences or the result of that not, I believe, not receiving the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was that when the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord, but he said it unto them, except I shall see in my hands the prints of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. He was stuck in the mindset that had to see physically with his eyes before he would believe. And so the interesting thing is, it says in verse 26, and after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas, this time was with them. Jesus came in the doors, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you," exactly what he said before. Now, if that happened, you know, there's not if that happened. What I mean is there would probably be a tendency in our thinking that when Jesus came back, he came into the room, that he would come in and say, "Thomas, what the heck is going on here, man? Your brothers that you've been with for 3.5 years here told you that I came back. You didn't believe it. You didn't believe what they said. You saw the raising of Lazarus. You saw all these things, and you still wouldn't believe." And, you know, would rake him over the coals. "Get your act together." But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus said, "Peace be unto you." Then he said unto Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and see my hands, and reach hither thy hand and put it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus said unto him, and this I believe is a key as well, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have yet believed." What this was saying to me is that there are many, there are many in the Christian community in the world today that have not received the Holy Spirit. Yet the book of Acts, even in this situation here, we can even see that people can believe in Jesus and follow him and still have not have received the Holy Spirit. And that to me has always been a confusion in my mind. How can that be? Yet the book of Acts, in very many, you know, various places there, have you believed and received the Spirit since you believed? And, you know, there's various different examples of that. It, in fact, can and does happen. And in my opinion, we'll say I've settled on the fact that is the case. And I don't want to get off into a whole thing about, you know, what I feel, what I believe, or anything like that. But the point that the Lord kind of brought me to is that what is our responsibility? What is my responsibility in relating the gospel to people? I'm going to be, there are going to be two groups of people there. There's going to be people that need to see before they will believe. And there will be people that have already, I guess, been prepared and will believe before they actually physically see the results. And I think we have to be prepared to accept and to respond and relate to either way, just like Jesus did. He said, reach hither your hand and see, and be not faithless, but believing. So, and it kind of fits back in a few weeks ago when I was in First Peter, chapter 5. And there's a description there where I believe this is where it was at, I may be wrong here, maybe mixing something up, but there is a need for a demonstration of power for some. There is a need to demonstrate the power of God, the power of God's word, the power of believing, the power of faith, the truth. A need to demonstrate that to some and be ready to demonstrate. I think even the story we just heard Michael read, those and the examples of people in the Muslim communities that Jesus is appearing to, and they are seeing things. They are seeing things and experiencing things in order to believe. So, again, I believe that there's a whole Christian culture. There's the spirit-filled people and the non-spirit-filled people, and I think that we have to be we I say. I have to be prepared to be able to respond to each and each way. So anyway, but I just thought this connection, it just became very clear to me, how Thomas was still tied, having not received the Spirit from the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Having not received the Holy Spirit, he was tied back to that I need to see before I will believe type of mindset. Of course, in Corinthians, and I don't remember what chapter and verse it is, but Paul is explaining the receiving of the Holy Spirit that God gives. His Holy Spirit to us so that we can know his mind and his heart and see through his perspective the things of life and the scripture and understand, as scripture says that we have the mind of Christ because we have Christ within us. He's put his word within us. And he is in us. We may not be aware of all of the ramifications, and I know we're not, but that doesn't mean he isn't in us. His life isn't in us. And so, anyway, I'll quit running my mouth. But I just thought that was to me, it really hit the connection or the cause and effect relationship there. So, anyway.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. When you see the signs, when they see the signs and the wonders, a lot of them are going to change instantly. But there will still be some that call you a heretic because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I've had that happen to me. Go ahead, Teresa.
Well, in reference to Jesus appearing to Thomas and proving himself to Thomas, it does say in Hebrews 12, in verse 2, it says, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, hand of the throne of God. So, Jesus will author our faith. And then in Romans It says in chapter 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings, intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so I'm just saying. And then in 1 Corinthians 1 and 30, it says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I'm just saying, Jesus will reach out to us and author our faith, and then he'll finish it. So that was all.
Muted, Michael.
I knew that. Go ahead, Andrew. I've been telling you to go ahead for 15 minutes now. I don't know what the deal is here. Okay,
now,
go ahead.
You look at that account of Thomas. He said, I won't believe till I see him, put my fingers in the hand, and in his side. Now, Jesus wasn't there when he said that. But with reference of what Teresa just said, the author and finisher of our faith, the first thing he said, hey, Thomas, come here. Put your finger here. He was there. He's the author, and this is what we read now in the scriptures. And put your hand in the side. How did Jesus know what to do? How did he know what to ask Thomas? How did Thomas force this question out of his mouth? Unless it was by the Spirit of God, because it is God-breathed scripture now. So there we have it. And has it ever been where you lost your keys and made a prayer to the Lord and found them? And he found something there too, didn't he? So there you have with what I believe what Teresa said there, backed up. You know, I can't remember all the verses, but it was backing up what was happening to Thomas there, and the story that Pat told us is it's there. It happened, you know. So somewhere along the line, God's in control, even with this guy. This Paul guy that you talked about, God's in control. And he made it happen for him. Because he's the author and finisher. He's writing, and he's writing something on our epistle, our spiritual work. You know, some people think I'm overweight, but you know, I'm as thin as a paper. Because he's writing on this epistle, the Word of God. And it's written by the Spirit of God on my heart, circumcising my heart. But in order to do that, he's got to do things supernaturally too. So there we have something there. I sure hope somebody gets something else too on this. So praise God. I'd like to hear more on this.
Amen. All right, who's next? Any other night, people would be tromping over each other trying to talk.
You see, he came 8 days later to say that to Thomas. So there you have it, you see. He was either in the presence of those other disciples, but he was in Thomas too, because he heard what Thomas said. And there's a verse. When we discuss Jesus, where is he? In the presence of his people. Is there not that also written? So I'm just commenting on things. So I hope someone else gets a revelation from the Lord, because this is super exciting for me. Anyway, praise God.
Yeah, dearly.
Well, you know, Thomas doubted. We have that account, like, you know, what Pat was just reading. But then there was another one after Jesus had appeared to them before. I mean, he'd already appeared to them, but he sent them out the Great Commission. If you go to Matthew 28 and starting in 16, it says, but the 11 disciples went into Galilee, unto the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Like, they still doubted, even after all that time. And he had already appeared to them, talked with them, broke bread with them, and they were worshiping him. But, you know, it doesn't name names, but the 11 disciples, some doubted, but didn't necessarily single out one person. It says some doubted. And that's when he sent them out. So that verse is kind of always not intrigued me, but I was questioned, like, well, you know, how and why and what did they doubt? You know, here you are again, and they saw him being taken up, you know, into the clouds too. And after he commissioned them, you know, not in this here, but anyway, but some doubted. So it wasn't just Thomas. At least it doesn't say that, but it doesn't signify. Well, I'm sure they were dealing with a lot of thoughts and emotions and uncertainties, because they didn't know what was going to happen. They just know they knew what they knew. They knew what they saw. And I wonder, too, if they just hadn't got the revelation yet about things that Jesus had told them that they would receive later after they got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that, you know, those things would then start to make sense to them. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, there probably was some more, you know. They were used to seeing things by the flesh. All right, Nick, what do you say, bud?
I got a prayer request. The one that we were praying for, you know, he had pneumonia.
Oh.
So now his fever's gone, but he's still in the hospital, so...
You better get out of there as quick as you can. Yeah, Judy.
Yeah.
Nick, this is Vanita's cousin that we pray for over in India.
Yeah, yep.
He had like the high fever, and we prayed for that.
Yep.
So the fever broke. So we just need to pray for that pneumonia to go.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Judy. I'm not sure I remember. Go ahead.
Okay, well, we just prayed for him the other night. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for that fever breaking. And he's got to feel a lot better with that. So I thank you. And Lord, we just command this infirmity of pneumonia in his system, breathing, and all these problems that he's having there with that congestion and affecting his whole bronchial system. Mm-hmm. We command that infirmity to leave his body as well in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for doing a quick work here and letting yourself be made known, Lord, to this man, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for healing him. Thank you, Lord, for delivering him and turning him to the Lord, in Jesus'
yes.
name.
Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
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 I believe it. All right. Anyone else?
As Julie was praying, I believe I saw the eye of God, Jesus' eye, looking down at that man. He's focused on that man. He's going to answer our prayers. Thank you, Jesus. We
God,
believe it. We see
you,
the
Lord.
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Good.
Thank you,
Amen.
Lord.
Household salvation, Benita. Praise God.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Anyone else? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for protecting Trump. Thank you, Lord, for protecting his cabinet. I thank you, Lord, for protecting Elon Musk and his people, all of the people that have been threatened. Lord, we thank you for protecting them. We praise you, Father, for the work that they're doing. Taking the money back from the outlaws. And we praise you. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your angels are out there right now sacking up the money and putting it in the U.S. Treasury. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for your protection upon all of these people. Because there's people out there who want to kill them. Want to kill it. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. We ask, Father, for your protection upon them, their families, and the people around them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we also ask that your angels would make known the people that are destroying these Teslas, cars, and trucks out there and the dealerships in Jesus' name. Lord, expose them. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that they're all going to be prosecuted to the extent of the law in Jesus' name. Amen. I think Trump called that a terrorist action, which puts a big sentence on him. Thank you, Lord. I think it's 20 years. Go ahead, Julie.
I just want to add a little bit that was coming to me. Father, I thank you, Lord, for exposing all of this corruption and that these people are doing what they're doing to expose the corruption. And we just bind up the works of darkness, the threats, the accusations, any attempt of trying to blackmail or coerce them, any kind of nefarious works to try to entrap them or just that's how this the deep state work, Lord, and we just bind all that and their plans and schemes for that kind of thing, and we command that to fail in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for giving them these men and women who's Trump's appointed to do their jobs, to give them boldness, to give them courage and wisdom and discernment, and the right people to help them do what they've been called to do, what they desire to do, what they plan to do, and that there would be cooperation. Wherever there is resistance, Lord, we send the angels to bring that down in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Get rid of all of the deep state people. Nothing good about the deep state. Thank you, Lord. All right, Andrew, go ahead.
Lord, we know that there's always two sides to these things, and we pray for the people on the other side. I've seen some things, Father, that showing these people that common sense needs to be brought to these people, Lord. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. And we ask for these people, whatever they be, Democrats or whatever, Lord, that they would start changing their minds too, Lord. And that the common sense would come to these people because they would not want to be victimized this way. So, Lord, Father God, in your infinite mercy and power, Father, we ask that you would bring this to whoever you would see fit, and even more so than what we ask. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for changing their minds over to what's common sense, like Andrew said. All right, Pat, go ahead.
Father, we thank you for your goodness and the guidance and the protection that you provided us and provided this your work to be done. Lord, we just ask that you would give those in the leadership now in this administration the desire not only to identify these laundering, money laundering locations in our government, but now to follow the money and see where it goes and where it has been going for such a long time, decades, if not not centuries, who knows? But we thank you, Lord, that you're going to take it all the way to its destination and reveal, because Lord, you said that whatever is hidden will be revealed, and we thank you for that, Lord. And just match what Andrew is saying, Lord, that you not only use this uncovering to bring a correction to the situation and to the people, but you also use it to bring repentance to those that are doing the evil, that you're able to break through this damage, this spirit. And in the name of Jesus, we bind this spirit of deep state that's covering this nation and this world, and we cast it down right now. You have no authority over this world. You have only force, and you have no authority. And we have been given the authority to stand in the name of Jesus Christ and declare the victory of God. And we stand against you now and pull you down right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for you are bringing forth your righteousness to cover this world from end to end, from sea to sea. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ben, thank you, Lord, for doing it. I believe with that too. Go ahead, Andrew or Ben.
Lord, and we also just pray that all the deep state works that's happening in all the countries, Father, that you expose and that you bring to light all the wrong that's happening to all these child slaves. Lord, Father God, I pray that you save them from wherever they are. Lord, Father God, thank you for taking care of them. Thank you, Father God, for protecting them. And thank you, Father, for whoever's looking for them, that they find them, that they find families for them that will love them. And that any child that's been cursed, any child that's been neglected, any child that has any kind of spirit of rejection, Lord, Father God, I just pray you put your love in them. Lord, Father God, we know that your love can overcome the world. Your love and your life that's put into these children, it'll help them overcome any sort of curse, any sort of demon that any person has put upon them. We thank you, Father, so much for doing this. And thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in America. And I just hope that trickles into Canada and we start having some common sense up here now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? No, it's interesting to watch some of these liberals that want to hurt Elon Musk and his dealerships and all of that because he's exposing corruption. He's exposing all of the misdeeds that have happened. There was people getting Social Security checks over 200 years old. Well, how do you find them? Go find out where the address is taking it. That's what I do. But I'm sure they've already got all that worked out.
Where's the money going? Where's the money being deposited?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd send it, go down there and watch them when they got the mailbox. Yeah, put them in shackles. Oh, my gracious. Yeah, Missy.
Aren't a lot of them though nowadays, automatic deposit though?
Yeah.
You
All you
just
got to
find
do is
out.
go find out from the bank who it is. Who is this 200-year-old man? Who is this 185-year-old man? I want to find out myself, see how he did it. Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you for exposing all the corruption. Boy, they're doing a good job too. They have already gotten trillions of dollars shut down back. They're shut down from doing it again. They've shut down a bunch of DEI stuff. Lord, we thank you for getting rid of that nasty business. And then let's pray against this Denver, this Colorado bunch that the other day they introduced a bill or passed a bill that said in the schools, if the parents, let's see, let me think here. It makes no difference what the parents think, that the child, if he wants the or she wants the wants a change of sexual whatever, that they can take it away from the parents and go ahead and do it. And the silly thing, I think it passed. These people are they're not thinking correctly. Go ahead, Missy.
I don't even know where I saw this, but I saw that. But and part of that is on the birth certificate when their child is born, the parent gets to determine what sex that child's going to be or supposed to be or what they want it to be. Yeah, exactly. There's a whole bunch of stuff they can fill out, and that's one of them.
Somebody needs to go back to medical school. Yeah, that's the idiocy of the left. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, it's springtime. All the birds are going to come together, all the squirrels and groundhogs. And people don't know how to figure this out.
Don't know. Bees are coming together, aren't they?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Missy.
Maybe they need to start a new department of education, birds and the bees.
Well, they're actually going to do away with the Department of Education and let the states run it. I don't know if that's, you got people in Colorado that are, oh, this is crazy stuff. I never thought I'd see the day.
Well, Lord, route all this stuff out of the states. It's been given
Yeah.
this state
Well,
rights. Lord, route out the deep state politicians in the states too, in the state governments. In Jesus' name, shut
amen.
the DEI and all that stuff down. Transgender and LGBTQ agenda. And we just thank you, Father, for going and shutting it down, exposing it and shutting it down. And we just forbid one child. We forbid one more child. We send the angels to protect these children. One more child, especially, will not be brought into this brainwashing of this without the parents knowing it in Jesus' name. Just wipe the whole thing out, period. But that's the biggest atrocity, doing it without the parents' knowledge.
They
Taking all the
pass.
parents' rights away.
If they
Jesus
pass
came.
that thing, I think you'll see a wholesale leaving in Colorado. If they don't, they need to. I like
Well,
that, Pat.
I'd just like to say this. You know, there's a lot of evil things that have happened in this world. Nazism, communism, the old style, the USSR style. And I don't think any of these nations would go that far with passing these things. This is a new thing in our generation that they started when I was even in high school here. So it's bordering on people picking up these words, and if a spirit gets attached to them, and it goes to that person, they're going to get that word. They're going to get that spirit. They're going to get that idea. And I that's why you know that these people really need the Lord really badly. And it's verifying what time we're in.
I think
You
some
know,
more demons have been turned loose on them.
yeah. You know, it's sad because, you know, we speak English. We come from an ancestry in the European countries, and they've had this word from Portugal to Russia, from Norway to Sicily for 1,000 years, and they still don't have it right. You know, if they're not gonna do Romans chapter 13, which is about government, and 2 Peter chapter 2 about government, then of course you're going to get what's over there in chapter 18 of Revelation, chapter 18 and 3 even. And you know, filled with all these unclean spirits and birds, you know, if you're not going to do your job in the government according to Romans 13, you're going to get the Revelation 18, the first few verses. I guess you can praise God that this is actually coming to pass, but God is trying to show these people that they're in vanity towards his word, and they need the hope of God.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Praise God. Go ahead, Julie.
I saw something recently that just was one of those statements that come across, but it says like they've banned Bibles in schools where you can't read Bibles in school, but they do have them in prisons. Now, if they had them in schools, maybe there wouldn't be all these people in prison. They could read the Bible in school. They wouldn't end up in prison. And that was just kind of one of those, duh, I agree, you know?
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, y'all get ready. Get ready. Hold on to your seat.
Michael, we don't hear anything.
Seems to be muted at the. It's gone now.
Are y'all having trouble hearing it?
Can't hear any of it.
Really?
You have your own private concert going, Michael. We don't
Boy,
hear it.
it was just right on too. I'm telling you, it was awesome. All right, hang on, let's do this again. I'm sorry. I think I forgot to hit the button. Yeah, I did. Sorry about that. Here we go. She fixing to get going though.
Of Elijah declaring the word of the Lord, and these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Behold, he
comes, hey,
riding on the cloud,
yeah,
shining like the sun. At the trumpet calls, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee,
yeah,
our time is here, salvation comes.
Yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hey. These are the days of Ezekiel. The dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. Yes, Lord. The fields are as white in your word. Yes, and we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord.
Behold, he comes,
yeah,
riding on the cloud.
Here he comes,
riding like the sun.
Hey,
at the trumpet call,
lift your horns, gear up to the lead. Yes, it is, out of science, here comes
salvation.
Here he comes,
behold, he comes,
hey,
riding on the cloud.
Yeah,
shining like the sun,
at the
trumpet.
Come on. Say.
There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah.
Here he comes!
Oh.
There's more to it than y'all, as y'all know, but I love that song. Thank you, Pat. Pat sounded good, didn't he? Absolutely. All right. Anybody got a prayer request before we leave tonight? Yeah, Missy.
I just remembered the other night I did a video call with Kurt and Brooke and Blake and Maverick, and the kids were watching a movie, and I won't say what it was just because it doesn't matter. It's something that, you know, was not good for them to watch, and Kurt says, I said, so should they be watching that? And he says, they've watched it lots of times. And I'm like, oh gosh, it was a PG-13 movie. But anyway, so Father, I just ask you to put conviction in their hearts about what they let those children watch, Lord. And I know a while back, Blake had been having a couple times nightmares or whatever. It's been quite a while, but still. And I just protect their minds, Lord, and just forbid these little ones to get nightmares. And like I said, put conviction on their hearts to not let their let the kids watch stuff like that. In Jesus' name, Lord, and grant them repentance, Lord, and even convict them about things that they watch on TV, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them into the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord, I just ask and I pray for everybody here that the next time we come together, which will be Tuesday night, that they'd all have a dream, a vision, a word of knowledge from the Lord for everybody. And I ask that in the name of Jesus. Would y'all believe with me? All right, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for doing that for all of us. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right. Y'all be blessed, you hear?